ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
And here we go. RS-25 engines lit. 4, 3, 2, 1. Booster ignition.
We have liftoff.
The crew of Artemis 2 now bound for the moon. Humanity's next great voyage begins.
Four astronauts blasted off from the Kennedy Space Center this morning, and they've started their journey to the moon.
Good roll pitch.
Roger, roll pitch.
I'm ABC science reporter Jacinta Bowler.
And I'm Belinda Smith. This is Artemis Explained, a daily podcast following the Artemis 2 mission to the moon
for science fiction on ABC Radio National.
Houston now controlling the flight of integrity on the Artemis 2 mission around the moon.
So we're going to start each episode with Mission Under a Minute, where Jacinta, it's your job to summarise what's happened in the past day. So go.
Oh, God. Okay, so Artemis successfully launched. Very exciting. So after 6:30 p.m. local time, four astronauts blasted off and they're now in space. It was a surprisingly smooth pre-launch. I've been up since 4 a.m., so I've been watching this thing and it's been good. There was a couple of small hiccups, but they seem to have been dealt with. The only problem is that there has been some toilet trouble in orbit.
The kind of trouble you don't want in space, really.
No.
No. You've been covering this now for a while. How did it feel for you watching the thing actually lift off?
I'm a worrier and I was quite nervous this morning.
You did look pretty freaked out.
Because there's a lot that could go wrong, but it was really beautiful. Everybody all came over to watch it. It was on the TV. It felt really historic in a way that I wasn't expecting it to. I guess we haven't heard much about Artemis in like general media over the last few weeks. So kind of getting it to be like, oh, everyone's super keen for this now was awesome. So how about you, Belle?
I think all the sort of cliches, unfortunately, like awe and excitement and a little bit of nervousness, like yourself. I'm also a little bit of a worrier. So those first couple of minutes, a bit hairy.
They're scary.
Yeah. But on the whole, yeah, I felt really, I don't know, invigorated by it. It was incredibly exciting and really cool to watch with everyone around us.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's go back before the launch to pre-launch. What happened in the hours leading up to liftoff?
So it's a really long process to actually get them up there for obvious reasons. You've got to, you know, fill up the rocket, get the astronauts in, plug them in, make sure they're all safe.
Plug them in.
Well, you know, they've got to strap them in. Strap's
sure.
Probably a better term. And then those last couple of moments before the astronauts get on board, they do spend their time with families, playing cards. Actually, interestingly enough, there's like a 15-minute drive from the location that they are to the launch site. And we were told that they were going to be watching Top Gun and Point Break, which for 15 minutes, you're not getting much of either of those movies.
No, I mean, the start of Point Break's pretty great, but yeah.
Just 10-second clips? I don't know.
What's this astro van? Is it special?
No, it's it's just a van.
Oh, shame.
It's just a van. They go from one place to another.
All right, so they get strapped in and the hatch is sealed up. What happens then?
Yeah, so even once they're strapped into the capsule, it still takes them a while to actually take off the ground. So they were sitting in the capsules for about 4 hours, just fully in there, ready to go, while they do those final checks and balances. Interestingly enough, they have like little iPads and some pen and paper and stuff they can do, but they've got these huge gloves on. So I don't imagine it's much fun to be riding or doing anything while it's there.
Maybe they can finish watching those movies while they're waiting to blast off.
They've got so much movie left.
Now, there were a couple of issues leading up to the launch, weren't there?
Yes. It's not a space launch unless there's something that you need to double check before it goes. The first thing that was a potential issue was the flight termination system. And the second was the launch abort system's particular controller battery issue. Now, both of those were determined to be safe. The launch was able to continue. It didn't really affect the timing at all, actually, which was pretty cool.
So what are these systems? The flight termination system and the launch abort system. They kind of sound like the same thing.
One protects people and one protects the astronauts. So the flight termination system.
Astronauts are people too.
okay, all right, fair enough. No, so the flight termination system, the idea of it is so that if there was some kind of issue where, for example, something coming off the rocket was going to land onto people as opposed to the ocean, you would be able to fix that in certain ways to prevent, you know, a rocket landing on a city population. That's what you're trying to avoid there. The other one, the launch abort system, that is actually to protect the astronaut. So it's the very tippy top of the rocket, kind of the pointy bit, and it will come off and kind of throw the astronauts in their capsule away from any kind of bottom part of the rocket so that if the rocket explodes, they can quickly move away from it and be able to be safe or right. safer.
So it's like a massive ejection seat, but for the capsule.
Yeah, yeah. That's right. A great way of putting it.
Great.
Yeah.
Excellent. All right, so they fixed those issues with those two systems. What were the astronauts thinking? How did they sound? Because they're sitting there listening to all this.
I would be so worried.
Yeah.
but they sounded really calm, actually. So Charlie Blackwell Thompson is the launch director. And just before the launch goes, it's her job to ask every member of the team whether they're okay to go for launch. And this is what they said.
Thank you, Charlie.
This is Victor.
We are going for our families.
This is Christina. We are going for our teammates.
This is Jeremy. We are going for all humanity.
All right, Charlie. Your Artemis II crew is go for launch. Full send.
I copy that. Reed, Victor, Christina, and Jeremy, on this historic mission, you take with you the heart of this Artemis team, the daring spirit of the American people and our partners across the globe, and the hopes and dreams of a new generation. Good luck. Godspeed, Artemis II. Let's go.
And then they went, obviously, up into space. So walk me through the launch itself from ignition to going into Earth's orbit.
I mean, we both watched this, didn't we? It's the first few minutes are really critical. The liftoff happens. At about 1 minute, there's something called max Q. That's when the maximum amount of pressure is on the rocket as it's going upwards. The booster separation happened at about 2 minutes. And then the big orange rocket separated at 8 minutes. And this is all, you know, while the astronauts are strapped into the seat and going just absolutely flying.
So just going back to this max Q at 1 minute, what is that pressure on the rocket and the capsule? Where does that come from?
Yeah, so it's mechanical stress. So the idea is that you are going extremely fast, extremely hard, in the same way as when you put your hand out of a window when you're driving in a car, you can feel it going backwards. That's what's happening here, but for a rocket, and much, much, much worse.
So what would happen if an astronaut stuck their hand out of the rocket?
I don't think it's a good idea. I imagine you would lose an arm, but I'm not going to put that. I mean, I guess it is on record now, isn't it?
So it's the rocket that's accelerating up.
Yeah.
And the force being pushed on it is molecules, gravity pulling it down. It's air molecules. Okay,
yeah,
right. So it's friction.
Just absolutely slamming into that rocket, so much so that it broke the toilet. So
let's talk about the toilet troubles in a second. I'm also just interested in what are the astronauts seeing?
I mean, it's kind of a beautiful view. This is what Reid Wiseman had to say.
Outstanding, Stan. We see the same and we have a beautiful moonrise. We're headed right at it.
Well, that's good. I'm glad they get windows because if you're going to go to space, you want to see the view, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's actually very important for the mission that they can see the moon because they're going around it and, like, doing a bunch of scientific, you know. Well, they're spending time taking photos of it. It's the first time that people have seen this particular part of the moon ever with their eyes. So if there wasn't some way to see it, that would be extremely embarrassing.
Yes. Yeah. Now, they've blasted off. The booster rockets have dropped off. The main rocket's dropped off. They're in Earth's orbit. They've got a couple of burns to keep them on the right track, so to speak.
Yeah.
Now it's kind of life in space for them. But they've been dealing with a few other problems unforeseen. Yeah. What were they?
There's one important one, which was that there was a comms issue. So they were intermittently dropping out as they were heading up to space, which is not what you want. You want to make sure that the comms are working as intended. But much more fun for us, there was issues with the toilet.
I mean, you said the comms issue is the important one, but I would argue that 10 days without a toilet is a pretty frightening prospect.
Yeah.
What happened with the toilet?
Okay, well, the first thing I want to say here is that when we last went to the moon, they just didn't have toilets. They just didn't include one.
So what did they do?
Yeah, they pooed in bags. Actually, there's a very funny story where there was a poo floating around in one of the Apollo missions. Yeah. And everyone was like, wasn't me. So hopefully we don't have that here. Could you imagine being on they're not that big and there's just a poo flying around and no one's taking responsibility for it?
And you got to get it quickly because if it touches, it's floating around. It could touch anything.
Yes.
It's three-dimensional travel in space.
Yeah, you don't know. So in this case, there is a toilet, but Christina Cook noted that the filter was not installed in the way it should be when they first got up there. They think it may have been shaken out of place during the launch. So they've set it back in place and it should be okay. Fingers crossed, because if they don't get it working, they will have to go back to the pee bags and then they'll just use the toilet as like a collection facility instead of flushing it away or doing anything with it.
Right.
For 10 days. Not a good time.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Well, at least there won't be any floating poopies getting around the capsule.
One can hope.
Toilet power up is in work.
All right. So it's just been a matter of hours into the mission. The astronauts have already dealt with some pretty potentially stinky problems. What else have they got planned for the first 24 hours of the mission?
Yeah, so hopefully they'll be able to grab a meal. They have snacks that they can eat for the first few hours, but they've been doing things. They've been in there.
They've been fixing toilets.
For a very long time now. But in space, when you first get up there, you're not going to be feeling very good. The gravity, lack of gravity setting in. You've also got issues with, you know, just the fact that you were shook around like a doll for the however long it takes you to get into space. And then once they've done that, they'll be able to nap. They only get 4 hours at a time on this first day because, it's very busy. They get to sleep in sleeping bags attached to the wall, which doesn't sound very comfortable, but
You're weightless.
Yeah. Why not? In space. You take every bit of space that you possibly can in space.
So in between eating and sleeping, which kind of sounds pleasant to me, what else are they doing?
I forgot about the important stuff, didn't I? I was just like eating and sleeping. So there's a bunch of different equipment, like life support systems that they have to check to make sure that it's all ready to go before they actually move into the moon stage of this mission.
Right. So if there is anything wrong that they can't fix, they can pull the pin and head back to Earth.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah. So it's a safety thing. Well, let's hope that doesn't happen. Now, we've had an email from Marcus who asks, what is Australia's role in the Artemis launch?
Yeah, so Australia has a pretty important role to play. The Near Space Network handles communication with the spacecraft during the launch and in low Earth orbit. So we have one of those telescopes. There's a ground station about 350 kilometres north of Perth. And then there's also the Canberra Deep Space Communication Complex. Quite a name. It's a CSIRO telescope. It's one of three global tracking stations, and that's alongside the United States and Spain. So because of where Australia is in the world in the same way as it was done in Apollo, it is important that we have these telescopes here so that we can have full coverage around the world.
Right. So it doesn't matter where around the world the capsule is, there'll be a way to communicate with it.
Exactly. Yeah. And as well as that, when they're going onto the moon, they also need to make sure that they're in a position that they're able to still receive responses from them as well.
Hmm. Now, you too can be like Marcus. Send us your questions. You just got to email us, sciencefriction@abc.net.au. Now, we'll leave you with what was probably the best quote of the day, and it comes from the boy who designed the RISE zero gravity indicator. That was that little stuffed toy which would show the world and the astronauts when they'd achieved weightlessness. And this was Lucas's thoughts about the launch.
Really, 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 really surprised and very happy.
And he really, 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 really encapsulates the excitement of the launch, I think.
He sure does.
This episode was made on the lands of the Wurundjeri and Gadigal people. It was produced by Shelby Traynor and Patria Ladgrove. I'm Belinda Smith.
And I'm Jacinta Bola. Smell you later.